You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, March the 14th. And we are going to talk about Alberto Gonzalez and the calls for his resignation and the firings of those U.S. attorneys during this hour. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest. Some Democrats in Congress are not happy with the explanation from Attorney General Gonzalez over how the firing of 8 federal prosecutors was handled by the Justice Department. New York Senator Charles Schumer, who has repeatedly called for Gonzalez to resign, says the Attorney General has already lost the public's trust. He says, and other Democrats contend, that the firings were politically motivated.
We were told by the Attorney General that he would, quote, never ever make a change for political reasons. It now turns out that this was a falsehood, as all the evidence makes clear that this purge was based purely on politics to punish prosecutors who were perceived to be too light on Democrats or too tough on Republicans.
Gonzalez has acknowledged that his department mishandled the dismissals of those U.S. attorneys and misled Congress about how they were fired. He says he was ultimately to blame for those mistakes, but he stood by the firings. And Gonzalez told reporters yesterday he was not stepping down.
I acknowledge that mistakes were made here. I accept that responsibility. And my pledge to the American people is to find out what went wrong here, to assess accountability, and to make improvements so that the mistakes that occurred in this instance do not occur again in the future.
But Schumer says Gonzalez has offered a sorry excuse for saying he delegated these firings. Well, what do you think of all this? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890-263-1890. And should Alberto Gonzalez resign over this and other issues? Other Democrats say it's not just this. It's abuse of power in general. There was talk about the overuse and underreporting of the Patriot Act and other issues. We will talk about all this with our guest, and we welcome your questions for him. Carl Tobias is the Williams Professor of Law at the University of Richmond in Virginia. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, should Alberto Gonzalez resign over this?
I don't know. I think that's the question the president has to answer, whether he has confidence, and his assistant, Dan Bartlett, suggested yesterday he has full confidence. But we'll see. The attorney general indicated he wasn't going to resign of his own volition yesterday, and you ran that clip in his press conference. But certainly members of Congress are upset and calling for his resignation, have been for almost a week now.
Help us understand, Professor Tobias, how Alberto Gonzalez could stand by the firings of these U.S. attorneys, that this was the right decision.
Well, I do think that, as many Republicans and some Democrats have said, of course, the U.S. attorneys and 93 U.S. attorneys across the country do serve at the pleasure of the president and can be fired for almost any reason. And the problem, in part, is that the reasons seem to be shifting for the explanations given to Congress and given to the public about the people who were fired. And I suppose that if someone, as a U.S. attorney, were not performing well, as the Justice Department has suggested on occasion, that the president could ask for that person's resignation, and that would be appropriate in order to replace the person who wasn't performing well with someone who was. The problem is that there doesn't seem to be very much of a cause and effect relationship or very precise calibration of lack of performance, and the 8 people who were fired Quite the contrary, most of them had glowing recommendations and evaluations from the very Justice Department headquarters that now says they were not particularly competent. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't all add up for many people.
Yeah, how damning are these emails that were released yesterday between an aide of Alberto Gonzalez and the former White House counsel, Harriet Myers, indicating that they were contemplating these firings and discussing them for the past 2 years?
Well, I think they are problematic, to be sure. As was revealed, apparently, the Harriet Myers White House counsel suggested that they all be fired in 2005. The Attorney General, to his credit, rejected that idea. And, of course, that would have been a nightmare administratively, if not for any other reasons. But then, going on from that point, is the linkage between the White House, the President, and the Justice Department, because there's a long tradition that the Attorney General and the U.S. attorneys enjoy some independence. They are appointed by the President technically, but there's a very different relationship, for example, between the White House counsel, Harriet Myers, and her predecessor, Alberto Gonzalez, and the relationship between the Attorney General, who is the Attorney General for the United States as well as for the President. And so it seems like those lines have been blurred. And so we need answers and comprehensive explanations for all of that. And some of that is beginning to be witnessed by the emails and other information that the Senate and House are trying to secure.
Yeah, and in fact, now Congress wants President Bush's aide, Karl Rove, to answer some questions?
Yes. In the last week or so, it has surfaced that he had at least some involvement and had some knowledge. The specific example on Saturday was the Republican chairman in New Mexico. I had asked about David Iglesias's firing, and he was reassured by Karl Rove that that had already happened at a holiday party in 2006. And there are questions about whether Karl Rove had more to do with this, these firings, than just the mention of that one U.S. attorney. So that's part of what the Senate and House are interested in. And also, just more broadly, the involvement of the chief of staff of for Alberto Gonzalez, which was revealed in the email, and then White House counsel's responsibility and everyone else in the White House, and what they knew and what they did and all of that the Senate and House are interested in.
Let me bring in a caller who's already online. We actually have a few callers online already. Ken in Black River Falls. Hi, you're on the air.
You know, something that's being overlooked in this is Clinton fired quite a few people. That's one issue, but that's really not central. I don't think that your guest really understands the difference that's outlined in the Constitution with the three branches of government. You can have anything you want happening with the executive, and there's still an independent judiciary that's going to evaluate the cases that are coming before it, and the judiciary are life appointments, no matter who appoints them. And it's kind of amazing what a person does when they're a judge with a life appointment. Earl Warren, probably the best case. So the belly aching that's going on in this is amazing. These guys are hired as employees at will. Get used to it. You want the job, you got the job, you leave the job, then you go on, maybe you become mayor of New York.
I don't disagree with that. Certainly, there's a long tradition that when a new president comes in, all of the U.S. attorneys resign. One problem is the U.S. attorneys exercise extraordinary power over the life, liberty, and property of people within a particular district, and they can ruin someone's entire life by deciding to proceed with a prosecution against that person. And so it's important that they make fair, reasonable, and well-considered determinations about exercising that prosecutorial discretion. And there have been questions raised that the White House might have suggested that U.S. attorneys use that power against people of the who were Democratic officials for Republican gain, and I think many people find that to be a problem.
Yeah, this, though, many are saying, is different than President Clinton firing however many attorneys he did and appointed his own when he took office, in that this happened so late in the term of George Bush that this was, you know, we only have 2 years to go here, and it was on, you know, blatant political reasons rather than in terms of they won't go after, the attorneys won't go after Democrats.
I think it's mixed. I mean, I think it's more subtle and complex than many people have made out, and you almost have to look case by case at each one. But again, the tradition has been, there are a couple of traditions. One is when a new president comes in, that person names his or her own people, and no one disputes that tradition. Also, the U.S. attorneys typically serve, as a matter of tradition, for a term in a one-term presidency and then 2 terms in a two-term presidency, unless there is something objectionable about their conduct of the office. But as Harriet Myers suggested, the appropriate time to make changes, if that is necessary, is at the beginning of an administration. And to her credit, I think that's what she was trying to do. But the wholesale firing of all of them by a president of the same party is virtually unheard of. And what seems to be unprecedented, too, is, as you suggest, this late in the administration, 6 firings on one day does raise questions.
We're talking about those questions with our guest, Carl Tobias. He is the Williams Professor of Law at the University of Richmond. And we welcome your thoughts and questions about Alberto Gonzalez and whether or not he should step down amid the recent scandals in the Justice Department. A lot of Democrats, top congressional Democrats, are calling for him to resign over the way the firings of some U.S. attorneys was handled and why they were fired, plus others also upset with the overuse and underreporting of the Patriot Act. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
The latest revelations prove beyond any reasonable doubt that there has been unprecedented breach of trust, abuse of power, and misuse of the Justice Department. And that is very serious and very important.
That was New York Senator Charles Schumer, who has repeatedly called for Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to resign. He says the attorney general has lost the public's trust. What do you think? What questions do you have for our guest? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. It's my understanding, Professor Tobias, that Charles Schumer and others are also upset with the underreporting of the use of the Patriot Act. What can you tell us about that?
Well, last Friday, the Inspector General for the Justice Department issued about a 200-page report on use of national security letters by the FBI, which is authorized under the Patriot Act, and found a number of deficiencies that really the FBI had not completely tracked. Use of the national security letters many times. They were used outside the law without complying with the requirements. And then, thirdly, there was some underreporting at the level of 20% or so. And that led a number of senators and members of Congress to be very upset about what was going on. And the FBI director, Mueller, actually admitted that it had happened on his watch and was an enormous mistake.
Yeah. Do you have any sense if the public's trust in Attorney General Gonzalez has been lost, or whether it's just Democrats?
Well, yesterday, certainly there were a number of senators, and at hearings last week, Republican senators, the names are ones of people who are quite loyal to the administration. Senator Ensign yesterday from Nevada, who holds a position of great trust in the Republican Party in the Senate. Last week, Senator Kyle of Arizona, Senator Sessions of Alabama, very loyal Republicans, loyal to the White House, have raised questions. So it's not just Democrats, some quite prominent Republicans, Senator Spector as well, former chair of Judiciary and ranking member, have all raised questions about what exactly is going on at the Justice Department. And so it's not just one party.
Yeah. Eric in Madison is with us now. Hi, Eric.
Oh, my question is, why hasn't any conversation brought up here about the charges or the allegations, why they were dismissed, which from what I heard on the news was because of inactive prosecution of voter fraud? This doesn't seem to be in the conversation here. And I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Prosecutors who were dismissed have said they felt pressured by powerful Republicans to speed up investigations of potential voter fraud cases involving Democrats. I did mention that in one of my lead-ins, but we didn't talk about it in any depth. Professor Tobias?
Well, I think voter fraud is important, but again, we would like even-handed prosecution where there's voter fraud allegations. And if it's only where it benefits Republicans, that seems unfair and inappropriate. So, of course, voter fraud is an issue a U.S. attorney should be concerned with, but even-handedly.
Yeah. Thanks to the caller. Bill in Marinette is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I haven't read through every single one of the emails that were circulating, but there were some that I found very interesting. There was one from Harriet Myers that separated the attorneys in two categories. You were either loyal to the president or you were chafed and et cetera. You were either loyal or not loyal. And I think the question that I'd like to ask is, how can we look at this other than it is totally political decisions? I don't see how anybody could, unless you're totally misinformed, you'd have to understand that it was totally political.
You're either loyal to the administration as a U.S. attorney or you're chafed, Carl Tobias?
Well, that's part of what we've been talking about a little bit is, to some extent, you do want U.S. attorneys who consistently and uniformly apply the law across the country. You wouldn't want the death penalty sought in one district and then not in the other district, barring unusual circumstances. But at the same time, there's independence and autonomy that ought to be there, and use of the office for purely Democratic or political or Republican political purposes it has always been inappropriate.
Thanks to Bill. Laverne in Monroe, hello.
Good morning, Joy.
Good morning.
This is something I don't think is going to go away right away. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning.
The President Bush, that sounds like a cover-up because, the House and the Senate's been controlled by Republicans, and it's been everything labeled top secret. I think that's why nothing's come up until just lately. Our Attorney General, this Gonzalez, used to be President Bush's personal lawyer, and the fact that they was thinking about firing 93 people at one time, it sounds ridiculous. It actually sounds worse than a Watergate.
A comment, Professor Tobias?
Well, it does make a difference who has a majority in Congress, as we've seen. And I think for the first 6 years of the administration with Republicans, there wasn't much concern or investigation of anything that happened in the executive branch, and the Democrats have taken a different position, and that's part of why we see what's happening now. And I think it is a concern that much of this happened in secret, and now that the emails are being made public, it helps, I think, the public to and the Congress to decide whether there was any inappropriate behavior.
Yeah. Where do you see this, I don't know, investigation going?
Well, I think what's important is to have a comprehensive information about exactly what happened. I think the president has to say what, if anything, he knew about it, what the White House counsel knew about it, and also what the Justice Department knew about it, and then as to the individual U.S. attorneys, what exactly happened. And until there's fuller information, I think it's very difficult to reach any kind of final resolution.
Yeah, I've heard some saying that we need now some sort of independent or special prosecutor because you can't expect the Justice Department to investigate itself.
Well, there is that possibility that people have raised about who should do the investigating. I mean, I think some people, in fairness, feel the Democrats are too partisan, so Congress probably can't or maybe shouldn't, but will to a point. And then there is the possibility of an independent prosecutor because, as you suggest, there isn't sufficient trust in the Justice Department. And I think we'll just have to see. I mean, if the administration continues to cooperate, as it has, I think, somewhat so far, for example, with the emails, with Congress, there may not be a need for that, but there may be. So I think we just have to see. Mm.
Steve in Rice Lake is with us now. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, good morning. There's a note in the New York Times yesterday suggesting that this issue is dancing around the repeal of the Patriot Act. So I would like to know whether these justices or judges can be reinstated to office, how that would be done, and also what would be the legislative process to repeal the Patriot Act.
You mean the attorneys? Well, first of all, could the attorneys be reinstated, Professor Tobias?
Well, technically, they could be, but I think, unfortunately, there's been so much bad blood, understandably, between the U.S. attorneys who were fired and the Justice Department, that it'd be very difficult to reinstate them. There ought to be a way, as Senator Ensign said, to restore the U.S. attorneys' reputations, and perhaps the Justice Department would issue an apology or something of that sort, but that doesn't seem forthcoming now. As to the USA Patriot Act, I don't think there'll be wholesale repeal, but people like Senator Specter, who carried the water when he was chair of Judiciary in the 109th Congress, have raised questions as to specific provisions. For example, the issuance of the national security letters, which was central to the Inspector General's report of Friday. And so we may see some selective rolling back or limiting of some of the powers given to the FBI and other federal agencies in the Patriot Act.
Yeah. Congress, many members of Congress are not happy with this audit or report that came out on Friday.
Oh, I think that's right. There were, I think that even FBI Director Mueller wasn't very happy with it and expressed his regret.
Next, we go to Carolyn in Green Bay. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I have heard in many of these discussions the fact that Clinton replaced, 92, 93, whatever, U.S. attorneys at the beginning of his term and that's fairly common. I have not heard if George W. Bush also replaced the full slate of U.S. attorneys at the beginning of his term. And then I'm not sure if you addressed the Patriot Act thing, that apparently it's okay to replace these attorneys without the approval of Senate. That's also part of the Patriot Act?
Yes. I think that President Bush probably did request the resignations of all of the U.S. attorneys when he came in 2001. Secondly, you're exactly right. There was a 2006 amendment to the Patriot Act when it was reauthorized last year that took the authority that federal district judges had to name interim U.S. attorneys if someone were not confirmed in 180 days and transferred that authority to the Attorney General. And today, I believe, Congress will vote on a provision to roll that back. In other words, transfer that authority back to the district judges rather than the Justice Department. Out of concern that part of what was going on with these U.S. attorneys was an attempt to have the Justice Department name them for the remainder of the Bush administration and so avoid the Senate confirmation process.
Thank you, Carolyn. Bill in Deerfield is with us now. Hi.
Hi. Your first caller made an accusation that can't be left lying out there. He said that Clinton fired a bunch of these attorneys, and Clinton never fired anyone who was in the middle of an investigation. That's just not true. The attorney that got the conviction against Congressman Ney was in the middle of a broad-ranging investigation looking into fundraising techniques involving Jack Abramoff, and that would have been very embarrassing to an administration that had tried to put him at arm's length and didn't want any connection with him. And finally, with the 20,000 uncorroborated investigations without a warrant that we found out about last week or the week before, it's pretty clear to me that the Bush administration is not using the Patriot Act to look out for terrorists, but they're making an enemies list, and they want compliant attorneys who will go after political enemies. And this was the second article of impeachment against Richard Nixon, politicizing the Attorney General's office and using it to go after political enemies, and this is impeachable offense. Thank you. Bye.
Well, that's a lot of stuff for us to cover here, Professor Tobias. What do you want to start with?
Well, I think there's a lot of truth to what the caller said. I plead that we need more information to know specific facts about how the national security letters were used, how the U.S. attorneys were used, before I think we know whether these firings are more serious than appears at present. And so we need to get that information.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit more about what we do know? Most of the stories I'm looking at are pointing to that these U.S. attorneys were dismissed because they weren't supposedly aggressively pursuing voter fraud cases that the administration wanted them to be pursuing more aggressively. What's this one about somebody being fired in the middle of a campaign finance corruption investigation?
Oh, maybe the caller was referring to Carol Lamb, who was had successfully prosecuted Randy Duke Cunningham in San Diego. And she was continuing that investigation and indicted a couple of people right before she resigned. And one allegation is that perhaps she was fired for too aggressively pursuing a Republican member of Congress.
Yeah, and it is, as far as you know, not typical for even a new president to replace a U.S. attorney that's in the middle of an investigation. He's saying that Clinton never fired them when they're in the middle of investigations.
Well, in this administration, the Bush administration said that, you know, has said that they wouldn't do that either, though it's not clear. I don't know the answer to that, but I do think that's a very legitimate point. You want ongoing investigations to proceed, especially political corruption investigations.
We're talking with Carl Tobias. He is a professor of law at the University of Richmond in Virginia. He's talking with us about the recent scandals involving the Justice Department and the calls for the resignation of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. Alberto Gonzalez yesterday said he is taking responsibility for the way 8 federal prosecutors were fired, but he is not, Alberto Gonzalez says, stepping down. Gonzalez told reporters that mistakes were made, and he vowed to find out what went wrong. There have been growing calls for his ouster. Democrats in Congress charged that the 8 dismissals were politically motivated. A Justice Department official told Congress that the firings were based on performance, not politics, and that the decisions were made solely by the Justice Department. However, in emails released yesterday between a top Gonzales aide and former White House counsel Harriet Myers indicate that the firings were considered and discussed for 2 years. That Gonzales aide has now resigned. Gonzales still says the firings of the U.S. attorneys were the right decision. And the White House this morning expressed full confidence in Alberto Gonzales. What about you? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned, and you'll want to stay tuned. A related topic coming up after 9 o'clock. The FBI underreported its use of the USA Patriot Act to force businesses to turn over customer information in suspected terrorism cases. After 9, Kathleen Dunn and her guests will discuss the recent Justice Department audit. That's coming up after 9. We are talking about the calls for Attorney General Alberto Gonzales to step down following the news of the firings of some federal prosecutors and also the that FBI illegal snooping and use of the Patriot Act. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions on this. Should the Attorney General resign? Was the White House involved in this? Was it based on politics, not performance? What do you think? What questions do you have? Rick in Fond du Lac. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. Just came into the discussion a little bit late, but the thing that this points out to me with this situation is the that these individuals should be elected in our system. I feel the same way about the Supreme Court justices. It shouldn't be, have executive reach with appointments. And obviously with this administration's goal to improve and empower the executive branch, historically we see that with Cheney and his push and his background. I see that this is a structural issue wrong with our government, that these individuals should be elected and we should have the right. That would be it scares me when they have these people appointed and they're forming laws, and it's just a little bit frightening with the executive reach with powers here in this country. And this is just another example how they exploited this. I'm not sure if other administrations have done it, but I'd be really, really interested to see the number of firings and these things happening. But this just sort of parallels with what this whole administration has done. After 9/11, they saw an opening to exploit and get as much power as they could to create influence, either politically or whatever basis they could. And I don't know how you do it. Obviously, very difficult to do. But appointing judges and appointing for the Supreme Court and people in this position is obviously where the problem lies, in my opinion.
Yeah, let's elect them all. Professor Tobias, what do you think?
Well, I think that's a very interesting proposal. And I read something the other day talking about the Attorney General being elected at the federal level. Judicial elections, I think, in the states are predominant. That's the way many states appoint judges is by public election. But that has some problems, too, because you have money influencing the elections and that type of thing. And it may be impractical to do with so many federal judges. And part of the tension there would be, and the check and balance, is the Senate confirmation power. And so hopefully we would see that with judges and also see that with U.S. attorneys. All these U.S. attorneys have to be confirmed. So that's one reason for the Patriot Act amendment rollback, which is scheduled today. And I think the caller is correct that many are concerned that there has been too much concentration of power in the executive branch in this administration. But really, since the time of FDR, almost every president has attempted to concentrate power in the executive. The imperial presidency idea goes back to mid-century and even earlier. So it is a chronic problem, but the check on that, of course, is independent judiciary and an aggressive Congress.
Thank you, Rick. Ray in Milwaukee is next. Hello, Ray.
Good morning. I want to agree with most of the callers that have called in. The two obvious reasons Gonzalez should step down, they're quite obvious, but I think he should be prosecuted because he was put in there to uphold the Constitution, not follow the president's orders. And there is a third reason he should be let go. He and Ashcroft never fully got to the bottom of who sold those airline stocks short before 9/11, because if they tied that together with 9/11, yeah, they could put the whole scheme into one package. But for some reason, those men have never been prosecuted.
Yeah. We're not going to go into 9/11 conspiracy theories, but I don't know. Professor Tobias, what about the U.S. Attorney General is not there to follow the orders of the president, but should be independent?
Well, we talked a little about that before. I mean, and the contrast is the White House counsel, the office that Gonzalez held before. Obviously there, you don't even have advice and consent. That person is the president's lawyer. But the attorney general should have some independence from the president and is the lawyer for the United States. And I think the caller is right to that extent.
Yeah. Jean in Eau Claire is with us now. Hi, Jean.
Hi, good morning. I also strongly disagree with your first caller that that we have no reason to just get used to it, and part of our troubles is that we have accepted that as sort of the status quo and should not. Everyone, no matter who they are, should go before the courts, go before the and expect a fair and impartial judgment. And it's just an absolute, I really don't even know the word to describe it, of what they are doing to this whole sense of equal justice for all. That, and Professor Tobias had wondered if Bush had fired all of Clinton's attorneys, and the answer is yes, he did. Further, I have read that in the last 25 years, only three U.S. attorneys have been fired in the middle of their term. And here Bush had plans to fire his own appointees. In the, he's fired eight, and plans, I understand, are his plans to fire more of them. That
I'm confused. Jean is saying that President Bush, these eight were Clinton appointees, right, Professor Tobias?
Which, the eight?
Yeah.
No, they were Bush.
Appointees.
Okay, all right.
They are his own appointees that he is firing. As for Carol Lamb, in San Diego, she has been accused of not prosecuting enough immigration cases. That's the reason for that she has been fired. But this is par for the course for this administration. And as for Alberto Gonzalez, he has been with Bush for 12 years and has been subservient to Bush in every respect, working for him as governor, working for him as a counsel to the president, and now as attorney general. His first loyalty, he is not only the attorney general, the justice of the Justice Department, and serves at pleasure of the president, but he's also the attorney general of the people of the United States. This is the man who not only knows nothing, apparently, about what's going on in the Justice Department, but is attempting then to pass the blame on to his chief of staff who has retired. I think his name is Kylie Sampson.
Yeah, I think his nickname is Scooter, too. Professor Tobias, your reaction to Gene's comments?
Well, it does seem that Kyle Sampson resigned because he didn't have the confidence of the Attorney General or anyone else in the administration and seems to have overstepped. And I think he will be pretty central to the investigation that's forthcoming. And the emails seem to show that so far. So I think he has much explaining to do.
Yeah, and I just was under the impression that that these attorneys had been former Clinton appointees, but he was these were Bush appointees that, for whatever reason, political or performance, were fired by
yes.
the Bush administration.
Yes, they were all appointed at the beginning of the first Bush administration.
Yeah, Pat in Pelican Lake. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a quick question. Are these attorneys that are appointed by the President of the United States appointed to enforce and uphold and protect the Constitution of the United States, or are they appointed to support and uphold the agenda of the President and the party in office? I think the answer to that question is the answer to whether Karl Rove and Alberto Gonzalez should stay in office. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right. The first point is true. They take an oath to uphold the Constitution and to fairly apply the laws of the United States in discharging their duties.
Thank you. Otherwise, if they were just political hacks, they shouldn't be fired. But if they are appointed to uphold the Constitution of the United States, they should be gone. Pure and simple. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Roger in Milwaukee. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning. Actually, I do have two questions. One, if he admits the mistake, and I agree he should be fired, resigned, or whatever, but if he's going to take the responsibility, and he states that, one, why aren't the ones that were mistakenly removed or, quote, targeted, why aren't they just being reinstated? We made a mistake, therefore we're going to reinstate your position, and that's the way it is. And the other thing is, what I really resent when I listen to Gonzalez and these guys in the executive branch justify themselves is the fact that, well, this is the law the way Gonzalez interprets it. And that's how he and Ashcroft end up getting away with murder. So I take my comments off the air.
I think you're correct. It would be appropriate to reinstate these people. If, in fact, they were doing a fine job, but the Attorney General says he had lost confidence in them, and he still said yesterday at the press conference that he thought the decision to fire was the appropriate one. So he hasn't admitted that yet. If he did, it's possible they would be reinstated. But as I said, I think there's so much bad blood between the Justice Department and the individual U.S. attorneys that it'd be very difficult to have a reconstruct that relationship at this point.
Yeah, that's right. He does say that the firings of the U.S. attorneys, the right decision, but that mistakes were made, and he vowed to find out what went wrong. Well, what mistakes were made then?
That's a good question. I think he's referring to some of what Sampson did and the back and forth with the White House and the information that we don't, have a complete picture of yet.
Yeah. Thank you, Roger. Deacon in Sheboygan. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I would like to go back 6 years to the beginning of this administration, and there lies the reason for any of this stuff that has happened. It's a simple explanation, and it was given to us by Dick Cheney. He made a statement that one of his primary goals while in office was to return to the White House the powers that he felt the president should have. And that's where all of this lies, every bit of it. Thank you.
Professor DeBias?
Well, there's been a lot of writing about that, saying that, after Watergate, Vice President Cheney was very concerned that Congress had sapped the executive's powers, and he wanted to restore those. And the theory goes that 9/11 gave him the opportunity to do that, and there's obviously some truth to that.
Yeah. And I'm looking at a news report from U.S. News and World Report saying that Republican senators will not rush to the defense of embattled Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, though aides to key lawmakers said today it remains unlikely that the president will oust his friend because of the Justice Department's firing of prosecutors or the FBI's illegal snooping. Would you tend to agree with that, that it is unlikely that president will oust his friend?
Well, it certainly seems that way now, but we have to get the facts. And then when all the facts are in, then I think we can see, and hopefully the president will do the right thing. And it may be that he should not be fired, but it may be that he should be asked to resign. We just don't know enough yet, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in the we still have a few more minutes left in the program. The Justice Department's firing of these prosecutors is dominating the news over the past couple of days because it's the fresher of the story. But is Gonzalez also, though, maybe even in more trouble over the the snooping issue and the overuse and of the Patriot Act?
Well, I think people in Congress are beginning to be concerned that there may be a pattern here of either mismanagement or incompetence or failure to pay enough attention. And I think all of those may be more than any one individual incident. Members of Congress are concerned about all of those various activities or failures in office.
Yeah, do you expect that we could see some sort of independent counsel appointed to investigate this?
It's possible, but again, that would have to come from the Justice Department. And so there's the concern of be investigating itself. Now, as we know, the independent prosecutor was assigned to the Libby prosecution, and so it could happen, but it seems unlikely at this point, but it's possible.
Well, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you so much for being with us and answering the questions of our callers.
My pleasure.
Carl Tobias is the Williams Professor of Law at the University of Richmond in Virginia. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour, and thanks to Leo Duran for on-air production, and thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. You'll want to stay tuned. Kathleen Dunn will be talking about related issues in her next hour, focusing more on this Justice Department audit showing the overuse, underreporting of the USA Patriot Act. If you would like a CD of this or any of our talk shows, you can call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444. You can also listen to our talk shows that are archived on our website, WPR.org, WPR.org. Thanks very much for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.